first time I came here was got to be around 2015.
Okay.
And I was part of the running club at Big River Running Club off Macklin.
Yeah.
And we would come here like after the runs and like just defeat the whole purpose of everything we just did. And I remember sitting out on your patio for the first time, and I'd only lived in the city at that point for maybe a year or two, moved up from Bon Terre about an hour south of here.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking on the patio, like I lived in the city for about a year, and I thought, this is a really cool city. And it was because I was on your patio with like your artwork around, and maybe, I don't know what lights you had up at that point, but the music was still going. And I just knew at the time, like, this place is so cool. And I mean, I have never stopped coming back. And now me and Carrie are here at least once a week. We live in Shrewsbury now. We see you.
Yeah, I see you around. Yeah. No.
So kudos and thank you very much. We'll have an applause happening on the podcast. So I really appreciate you, man. Like, really great job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Yeah.
You can just react to a fanboy, you know? That's cool. Like, I mean, all right. So the question is, what year did you open? And I kind of wanted to know, like, Steve, before the Royale, what led to the Royale opening? Because that's the ultimate, like, first question for me.
All right. Well, we opened in 2005. So
first of all, cheers.
Thank you to that.
Yes.
Sláinte. Cheers. Yes. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, fellas.
And, cheers and over the expensive studio.
I know. I know. Watch your drinks. I trust everyone.
I know. You got some nice gear here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I opened in 2005. So this April will be our 19th year. So it's been a minute now, but I always looked up to places like this that have been around a long time. I used to go to O'Connell's up the street. I used to go to a lot of places that have been around a long time. I always appreciated those old timer type spots, and I guess I'm starting to get into that category. But I'll choose not to think of myself in that fashion. But 19 years is a while to be in the business. So, but it's been I've been very lucky to be able to share, have a place I could share with people like this in the neighborhood. You know, if it's your speed, it's your speed. If it's not, that's what I love about this town is you can find all sorts of places that are just fit your niche, or sometimes you're just feeling it every once in a while. So, it's a long held tradition, especially in a city like St. Louis, these old Midwest cities, you know, the old public house, taverns, neighborhood bars, corner spots. St. Louis, Midwest, upper Midwest has a really great tradition of it. In fact, it was it was January of 2005. I had gone up to Chicago and Milwaukee to get my final thoughts together because I was getting close to kind of getting this spot. This spot had been here since 1922 and had been operating ever since. It had gotten busted during Prohibition a couple times. I had done the research much later. I didn't know that about it when I bought it. A bunch of crazy things have happened here over the years. But I've been able to envision the place going up to these other great cities. St. Louis is a great city too, but it's good to get out of your immediate environment. And in the middle of winter up there, it's all locals, and I really firmed up my core on this place. And I'm originally from Chicago as a kid, moved down here when I was in grade school, but I would always go back up there. So I had this sort of obviously St. Louis heavy, but Chicago influence, Midwest influence in my blood. And I've even gone back to Ireland many times, and that's during the pandemic. I put up these backs in the booths, which sort of reminiscent of a snug. If you've ever been to Ireland, they have these things called snugs, which is more like private seating area. And I've drawn upon a lot of different places. I remember went up to Delilah's up in Chicago back in the early mid 90s, and I remember that's the first time I saw somebody actually have a record player behind the bar playing cool records. And I remember it was Nan from Bloodshot Records. She was playing records, and I only added the record player there more recently, like in the last year. But I have record players that are literally underneath these seats that we're at now. We pull them out for the DJs to play them too, and they share their music. But now I'm able to actually share my own records more easily. So I'll just throw up an LP and just let it play the entire side.
Living the dream.
It's pretty fun. And then other people come in and they bring in their records, especially on a day, if it's not too busy, we'll play the record too. And if we don't like it, we'll just take it off. And
yeah, it depends on what we got.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We give away vinyl records on our podcast. We listen to records personally. We work with locally. I'm usually going to Planet Score Records in Maplewood because it's closest to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've always had that. You know, I lived in Chicago for about 3 years.
And nice.
That speakeasy.
Oh, yeah.
Vibe is
so
like.
So you understand, yeah.
I do. It's like you can feel it. And then, I mean, you also have like this, even like the music is perfect like right now. This is how it always is when you're here. We're tucked in the corner and it's just cozy and warm, you know?
You're very kind. Every once in a while, a record might sneak on. So I don't want you to, somebody sneaks a record on. I'm like, oh, no, it's too early for the noise album. It's too early for the Swedish hardcore music. But, you know. That's sort of the fun. It kind of reminds me, I was in college radio, talking about some things I did before this. I was at St. Louis University, and I was heavily involved at the college radio station, arranging everything there. And I went on after that to work at KDHX. So I always had records and music and musicians. I was never a musician, but I would always work with musicians. I booked a lot of concerts. I worked for a music club back in the 90s, late 90s, mid-late 90s, and downtown called the Side Door Club, and we had a lot of touring bands come through. A lot of Rich, what's up? Come on over. It's okay, Rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rich,
please.
He's an exiled DJ from KDHX. He's bringing me a card here. Thank you so much. I will not read this on the air right now. Get yourself a drink. Hang out for a bit if you'd like. Or all right. Do you have any records on you? All right.
Say hi. You can say hi into the mic. You said you're from KDHX?
Well, he's an exile DJ from KDHX.
Please.
Rich Reese from Pop the Beat Bubble Burst, former KDHX DJ.
All right.
It's nice to meet you.
Brother. If you want to pick out any vinyl records, we can throw them on too. So I got my new stack behind there. I'll chat with you after this.
That's actually funny you talk about KDHX. I've actually been on their tower and serviced their antennas.
Oh, down there in down south, huh? Down in Jeffco.
Yep.
Was that Peavely, I think?
Yep.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, we used to do work for, I don't know if you guys know Ralph Brancato.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of work for them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little fun fact about Scotty. He's climbed a lot of the towers, most of the towers in the state.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's a big one, too.
Yeah. Real big one.
Yeah. So you were saying you had the history. You worked at.
Yeah, I worked at KDHX early 2000s. In fact, Artie Dwyer was just up at the bar just a moment ago, hanging out. I think he was hollering at you. He had a show on Friday nights for, oh, Jesus, I don't know, 25, 30 years? I don't even know anymore, since the late 80s. And anyway, it's just, you know, it's a community spot. A lot of people are involved in music, a lot of bands. I never was in a band, but I like to arrange them. I used to book a ton of bands, live music, mostly on the smaller end. Usually, like, the club I was working at mostly had about 250 capacity. Let me see. I worked at the Riverfront Times back in the 90s as well. I did mostly event production. They used to do a lot of concerts back then, a lot more. When it was owned by Ray Hartman, we did a lot of work with South by Southwest at the time. We did sort of a twin festival with them. So it was kind of a big, you know, like, geez, I don't even remember, 250 bands over the course of, I think, 2 weekends. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was like 15 venues or so, 20 venues.
Wow, and yeah. You'll learn something during that.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot. I mean, there's a whole team of us working on it, so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to sort through a lot of music, select, slot. It was fun, though. I really enjoyed it. But I do that, but I also have to, like, drive a bus or trucks for make sure the rent was fully paid or working at a bar or a restaurant. I worked at a lot of different types of jobs. I mean, I still have a commercial driver's license that I hold on to just in case if the shit falls apart, I gotta go drive a truck again.
Nice.
It's always handy to have those certifications.
Yeah, and all the expertise. I think, right. You know, you can kind of see like different folks in life that, like, I mean, I've always been drawn to the place, and a lot of your background is a little similar to mine. A lot of different jobs, and
yeah,
I worked at a radio station when I was 18 years old.
Which one did you work at?
It was at a top 40 station in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
Three Eagles Communications, 106.3 KFRX.
All right.
Started on the ESPN radio and did not like sports, and there was a top 40 morning station next door. And I popped my head in one morning at 4 a.m. and was like, you guys are having a lot of fun in here. And they said, come on in and sit down. And I was on the morning show for about 8 weeks. And then they let me start doing every other Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that was an amazing.
What kind of music did you play?
Top 40. So the same. It was 2008, a lot of Rihanna.
Okay. So you're familiar. That's a
oh my God,
special time for you, huh?
Yeah, that's the year I graduated high school. So I took the year off I went off on a whim and took an internship. Was a full-time leasing agent for an apartment complex where I got a free apartment.
That's worth it.
That's how I made it work. But not here to talk about me.
These guys hear
about me enough.
They know you, but they all right.
All right, so how did, you know, all that experience, it makes sense. You've got the love for music. You were working in the industry. And obviously, I can see it now. The Royale is this wonderful vehicle for all the things that you love. So opening the Royale, like how did that, like you found the building.
I was looking around for a property for a while. I've been
you knew what you
01.
Wanted.
Well, I knew what I wanted, but I was having difficulty. There's definitely a few tricks in this town to get places like this open. I had originally been wanting to open up a place. I was looking at Cherokee Street, but this was like 2000, I think 99, 2000 is when I started looking, which was a very different Cherokee Street then. It was just, the Mexican places were really hadn't fully arrived. There's only maybe one or two on the street at that point, and I loved them. I go there all the time. I was actually doing boxing training out of South Broadway Athletic Club, and I would ride my bike there with my boxing gear on me, and then I would go stop at the taco shop on the way back, Taqueria Azteca, which was one of the first ones that was open down there on my way back. And I was really, that was the street I knew that it was ready for something new, but the politics at the time precluded me from making an application for a license down there, which I had a long battle down there for about 10 years trying to open a place up down there. So in that meantime, I'd opened up this one, and this was kind of outside of where I was thinking. You know, I'd always lived east of Grand, well, right around Grand, more or less, mostly, and that's where I vibed the most. But then I was like, you know, I have to kind of branch out, and I started looking all the way over here, all the way west at Kings Highway.
At the time, you were like, I can't believe
it. Fuck this, man. Yeah. So, but you know, I learned a little bit. I was like, you know, actually, this place is pretty good. This is, you know, Kings Highway strong, Tower Grove Park.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a lot of, I eventually kind of warmed up on it. And I had, you know, there's a lot of moving parts that are going, but it was much more amenable for me to get the licensing kind of set up. And it had been operating. Now, it was a very different bar. So I was right at that time, like the year, 3 years prior to that, I was very actively involved at that point in boxing. So I had a boxing gym up on North Broadway. It was on North Broadway at that point. And I was putting on fights about every 3 months.
Wow.
And I had a stable of about, oh, geez, the kids, probably about 15 or more kids. And then 6 to 10 adults. And we would train them up, throw some fights, do it again. We did some pretty wild. So that's a whole other chapter. That's like, it's
yeah. I say the questions just filled my brain, but you keep going. There's a whole like, where's that love come from?
Right. So I was running that kind of thing, trying to make that work, but I still had to work at another place to make sure the rent payment hit for my where I was living. So everything was sort of warming up, and there's a lot of things you have to balance, and because your closing is contingent upon your liquor license hearing and your financing, and you're trying to put together the original crew of bartenders, you're promising somebody a job that you're not sure is actually going to happen. And I was very mindful. So I was opening a place, and to me, I was originally going to open up a live music club, but I was looking downtown, feast or famine kind of business. You know, you got to fill the place on a Tuesday night. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, it doesn't matter how good your band is. That can be hard, especially when it's a smaller venue kind of spot. There's my father right there.
Oh, so wow. You see him, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you better watch out. He's got two canes. Okay, he's
good. I mean, it'd be a dream to get a hi from your dad.
Hey, Dad,
from
come
dad.
In and just give a shout real quick. This is my father, Patrick Smith. This is where...
Hi, Patrick. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mostly Superheroes.
Good to meet all of you.
Good to meet you, too.
So this is the Mostly Superheroes podcast.
Superheroes?
Yes.
Mostly.
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 I'm glad to add to the collection.
Exactly. Yes.
That's
exactly.
Absolutely.
What's your superpowers?
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
There we go.
So I was given so many words, and I'm trying to get them used up.
Just given a lot of words.
Yeah.
We use a lot of our words as well.
Well, hey, good to meet everybody.
All right.
Good to meet you, too. Have a good day.
You guys do the same.
Love it.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that was your dad earlier. Yeah. Whenever you guys were hanging out and
take
talking.
Yeah, so he steps in quite a bit. He's pretty active for an elder statesman.
Number one customer, I think. Besides Logan, sorry. Logan.
I'm probably not your number one, but we usually open up our show with a segment we call Fan Mail.
Fan Mail.
Where we give away some stuff. We know we're still giving away a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 vinyl right now.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. And since we're here, we're going to go ahead and give away a gift certificate to your restaurant. And we'll have that listed up, as always, at our mostlysuperheroes.com/contest.
Super fun. All right. Yeah, I know Jimmy Gunn and the Gunn family.
You know him?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
St. Louis guy.
I know Jimmy as well. I know his brothers.
Sean?
I know Sean. Sean's a little younger than me, and then I know Pat, his older brother. He's their attorney. Anyway.
No, not anyway. This is Mostly Superheroes. Head of DC now, James
Matt.
Gunn.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I don't know Jimmy as well. Jimmy was, like, older, older.
Oh, my gosh, Jimmy.
But I was in school with Matt, and I was in school with Sean, and I know Pat pretty well. In fact, I talked to Pat recently.
Well, I'll pretend not to just obsess over that for weeks to come.
Yeah, no, they're pretty funny. I haven't, you know, I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or anything.
Oh.
Later, Soraya. All right, all the cool kids are rolling through.
Feel free to pull anybody over. That's part of what we like being in here too, is getting the real life takes and all that. All right, why don't we flash forward to now?
Yes.
Yeah, and say, you know, right. So let's just get into your menu. What you eaten and the dynamite adventures that must be happening back in that kitchen, because I'll tell you, the crab cakes are a top favorite, the watermelon salad is an absolute favorite, and the fish tacos are the best fish tacos in the world, confirmed by me and Carrie. So congrats on those.
I will tell you, those fish tacos are the best seller. We've had those pretty much since the beginning, and it's been honestly so. I've got a very small kitchen. My kitchen in my apartment is about the same size, maybe an arguably larger than the kitchen I have here. I mean, this was a bar first. So when I opened up this place, I was like, I want to do a corner bar. I don't want to do a live music venue. Corner bar is much more consistent. I always find myself at the corner bar. When I was going to open a corner bar, I'm like, oh, shit, this one's got like a kitchen. Okay, well, you know, we're going to make kitchen work. You know, yeah, I'm into boxing and putting together shows and... I mean, I like cooking, you know, and some people
we'll
use
it
chef,
out.
And I'm like, chef, that's a word that has never been used for me, and I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to try to pretend I'm something I'm not, but I did have developed the kitchen quite a bit over the last 19 years now, where, you know, I have to collaborate, I got to work with different people about how to make this kitchen work, and so what you do is any time in life, you surround yourself with people that are smart, and know what the fuck they're doing. So that's what I did. And I would start to do that, and I got some really sharp people in the back. And then I kind of see what their vision is, and I kind of talk about what I see, and then we try to figure something out. So we have put together, as you said, like these different items. You're naming stuff that were on the specials from last summer, which we were just talking about bringing Bright back in, because we're bringing in a few different things. But the fish tacos are the best seller.
And I'll tell you, as a customer, I want you to like hear that experience of like coming in, picking up that clipboard, knowing that those specials are on the front, that the menu overall always looks and feels like the same to me in the best way. My partner is a designer and designs menus. partially like for a living. And I'm telling you, you got the right look to where it feels at home. But I always see those subtle seasonal changes, which we just look forward to. It's like just a fresh, it's like, okay, something's going to be new and fresh.
Yeah. Well, we're just about to do our switch because spring's happening. So we're I was just talking about it with a couple of my guys in the back recently. So I've developed my taste as we all have had, you know, I mean, you know, if this was when I was 7 years old, it'd probably be mostly cereal and peanut butter. But now I've grown up a little bit from those days. So, but I've appreciated different things. I'll bring them on as the specials for a while and they'll phase out. I may or may not bring them back in. But like, I don't eat as much meat as I used to. So I've been putting on a lot more vegan items. Am I a vegan? No. But it's actually kind of fun to try to figure that out. You know, there's a lot of places that have meat. A lot of places specialize in meat. There's a lot of places that specializes in vegan food. And I'm like, I don't really want to do either. But we can certainly do a lot more and still satisfy everybody. So it's kind of what I'm kind of vibing for.
And less meat in general is like what, you know, we're trying to do in our own household. And that definitely is what caught our eye on the menu. Was like, it's not just a strict vegan menu where like there's not anything not meat. But there's enough vegan choices where like I'm all of a sudden trying things like your wonderful vegan chorizo nachos.
Yeah. So vegan nachos. We've got the beet Reuben.
Yes.
That's really good.
Carrie loves the beet Reuben.
And jackfruit. You know, there's
jackfruit tacos. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so like we are definitely a bar vibe, but you're gonna get what I'd like to say is like really good food at a nice corner bar. And so I try to do the same, of course, with the cocktails. And that was something that when we started off, it was the craft cocktail. I don't think, I'm pretty sure was, if it was a term, it was not being used much in 05. But I knew I wanted to do cocktails that were well thought out, kind of in the old tradition, but also not afraid to do some new things. And I had a lot of people around me, the bartenders and some of the people I was working with in the original inception of the place, who were mindful of making good cocktails, using fresh juice, using the right ingredients, using the right presentation, and trying to do it in such a way that it wasn't going to slow down the service so much, because you know this place can get a little hectic, especially when it's hot out or you know, during the holidays.
You'll fill it up.
Yeah. Yep. So like, you know, and obviously this was even before craft, it was right around when craft beer started taking off. I mean, there was only one craft brewery in St. Louis when I opened up in 05, you know, it was Schlafly.
Schlafly, yeah. Wow.
And there was like kind of one other, but whatever. It's basically, there was just Schlafly and the big guys down on Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So like the fact that I was carrying different kinds of beer was still somewhat novel. I mean, it was already starting to break, but it wasn't until until AB got the buyout did all of a sudden all these breweries open up, and then all this huge demand for beer, surprise, surprise, in St. Louis, diversified.
And you're probably one of the first places that has that kind of like, oh, you can go to the Royale and get one of the new craft beers.
Right. So we focused in on those two things. Now, the thing is now you go almost everywhere, you're going to see at least some level of craft beers, if not like a pretty good selection almost everywhere now.
Yeah.
And with cocktails, like, most places you're gonna be able to get at least an okay cocktail to a pretty good cocktail to a great cocktail, and that's great. That's the way it should be. I'm not trying to say that I'm the only place you can get a great cocktail at, but I do try to keep.
You're in the top percentage. I'm telling you.
I do try.
This is where we call in your menu. It's hard to not just focus on food or drinks. One, you talk about them both because the menu just goes so well together. That's where I get really impressed. Is you got a smart team in the back throwing down and helping plan out these meals, and then you got another team or the same team planning out these fantastic cocktails.
Yeah, I've got a great team of bartenders, and I've had a lot.
The margarita, man. Oh my gosh.
Well, I will say using fresh juice in a lot of the drinks is going to make a big, big difference. Mm. And I do remember, you know, back in the 90s when I was first getting into this business, that fresh juice was not a thing. It was mostly opening up a tub with some powder in it, and you would mix it with some water. And there's still places that do that. It's what it is.
We've been to Applebee's.
Yes. And that's okay. And that's okay. It's its own thing. Just know you're getting a different experience. Like
you are.
I can appreciate.
And you can notice.
Yeah. I can appreciate there's some bars you go into. It's like, you know, this is the kind of place that this is not the better thing they're going to have. I'm going to go with a can of beer. It's still a good vibe, you know. So it's I don't want it to be just, you know, it's, we got, I like to focus on our vibe, but I want to make sure that when we have cocktails down, they're solid. When we have the food down, it's solid. I want to make sure the service is good, but I also make sure it's casual. And that's sort of like, I will say, the little thing that we do sort of dance along where, you know, I know you're going to say it's the best service, but we are a tavern. We're a tavern. We're not fine dining. And
yeah.
There's a difference there.
There is.
You go to a fine dining place, there's going to be people that are expecting the finer dining service. If they have a little something where they're getting a little worked up about it, they're just going to be, I'm just like, to me, I'm like, I don't have that much room. I can't work with you now. You know, it's like,
yeah.
you're already throwing a fit, you know, like, I don't think this is your kind of spot.
You had the wrong expectation coming in.
Right,
I like
right,
that tavern
right.
style a
right,
little
yeah,
slower,
yeah, yeah.
And you set your whole team up
right,
to
yeah.
just do their jobs and do
like,
it well.
Yeah. You get to have a little room if you want with the customer. It's
yeah.
okay. You know, like if you're going to be a higher maintenance customer, and I'm not saying that those requests are unwarranted or anything like that, but just expect, like, if you're going to go to a finer dining place, they will make sure that everything is so taken care of. It's kind of ridiculous, you know, just fucking
yeah.
relax.
Everyone.
Enjoy yourself.
Everyone relax.
Yeah, if you're going to come in already yeah. wound up, I'm not going to spend a ton of effort to keep you from unwinding and going all over the place. It's like when I had, like when somebody got upset because I had like half dollars as change, I'm like, you know what? You know, I
how
can't
was the reaction not, wow, this is the coolest day of my life?
No, I was like, oh, cool. I've never, you know, I don't yeah. get to handle these that much. No, they get upset about it. I'm like, okay, you're upset about this? I'm already weeding you out as a customer.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm going to show this to everyone today.
Just yeah, look what I got.
Just wait till they break out the $2 bills.
I know, yeah. Blow their mind, you know? So there's things like that I do intentionally, like, what do you mean you don't have chicken wings? I'm like, dude, I mean, how many, you look like you've eaten a lot of chicken wings, right? I don't think there's a shortage of chicken wings in your life. So you can try something else, okay? But
right.
then they just can't fucking handle it.
So that's
like,
so that's at that end of the spectrum. One of my questions that was literally on my list, and I know that we're going back and forth a lot. We can mm-hmm. give you a little bit of a break, actually. We'll be right back. There's something weirdly wonderful all year long at City Museum, St. Louis. Find a bus on the roof and more than 30 slides nestled in an old shoe warehouse. Whether you're a kid, or channeling your inner kid, or your inner Spider-Man, break out the knee pads and the headlamps and get lost in the ultimate artist-built playground. For a limited time, the City Museum features exhibits like The Science of Guinness World Records. See it before it's gone. With so many events all year long like City Nights, Summer Celebrations, Fright at the Museum, and weirdly wonderful holidays. It's all too weird and too wonderful to be anywhere else other than the City Museum. Get the best deal right now and become a member. Upgrade to Gold Member Pass, which includes unlimited visits all year long, rooftop access, and a free ticket for a friend. Don't miss out and visit the City Museum, located in downtown St. Louis. And remember to tell them that Mostly Superheroes sent you. Learn more at www.citymuseum.org. All right, back to the show. What you sharing?
I'm curious about the art.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, beautiful art in the walls always.
So, okay.
And fresh all the time, too.
Yeah, so I rotate it typically quarterly, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. Just depends on, I'm dealing with artists. So, you know, artists sometimes are on their own schedule. But, you know, you own a neighborhood spot. There's a lot of creativity here in St. Louis. It doesn't get the same level of play as it does in, let's say, other places. So we're actually pretty blessed in that respect. So this stuff up now, this is Dana Smith. He lives near south of downtown. He lived down near 12th and Park, and now he's over off of in Benton Park, more or less. He's actually he used to be a professional skateboarder. He's an interesting dude, very interesting dude. And he's now, you know, he hasn't done that. He's closer to my vintage. But he does, you know, what he sees around him. You know, a lot of this, he likes music. He likes artists, you know, you've got Eric Hall is on the wall over there. You got musician. I've got this building down.
A lot of iconic buildings, yeah.
Yeah, we got this one in Lafayette Square. He painted that one. We were up in Chicago, and I'm waiting on the train over there. He snuck that one up on the wall here for me. You got the flood wall over there on the.
You mean the L, just to prove.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's the Metro line.
Oh, right? Shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The Metro?
The Metro, yeah.
I rode the Metro up to Northbrook for a while.
See how that's in Jefferson Park. I'm trying to think, because that was outside of my normal neighborhoods that I would go into. The L, I think, may have actually even had a cars that would go through too, but I was grabbing the Metro that day. So my old buddy who I was in college radio with, I was with him and my buddy Dana up there. Yeah, that was so
you go back at all?
Go back. All the time.
All the time for music?
Actually, I was up there last March. I saw Iggy Pop up there at the new Salt Shed. Nice. That was a great show. Oh, my God. That guy was still hitting it hard. I love Detroit music. And that was, so I go back up there. I was working up there back in 99. Yeah, summer of 99. I worked at Wrigley Field, and I was working at a couple spots, mostly at Wrigley. Just going to shows, going to see a shit ton of baseball games. I was, riding my motorcycle around, going up to Milwaukee, whatever.
Yep.
So, lots of fond memories, and I continue, having fun times up there. Probably going to play records up there this summer. So, yeah. Anyway, I get distracted about Chicago very easily.
No, that's good. It's good to bring it in. We have listeners in over 60 countries.
All right.
Most of our folks are here in Missouri, but worldwide. So, they're really getting a taste of St. Louis, but a little Midwest right now. I got to ask about your patio. Beautiful plants everywhere. Beautiful lights. You got the screen out there where you're showing old movies. The DJs and music are setting up out there as well. Mm-hmm. What was your vision for the garden, and where'd that come from?
Well, again, I was looking at corner taverns down on the state streets, and I wasn't even thinking of a courtyard in my life. And then I got lucked at this spot, and they did not really use this backyard much at all here. It was pretty much just a backyard at that point. And I was like, okay. I mean, it was underused. They had some of the concrete down. And I was like, oh, man, I guess, this will be good. This will be my overflow. And when I was able to hit it off the bat pretty well, because I was doing a lot. I had done a ton of concerts. I had done a bunch of boxing matches. I had done produced things. So I had a bit of a crowd that was very interested in seeing what I was doing here. So I get a pretty good crowd, and it was great as an overflow. And I had a different thought of yards, because I used to put my boxing matches in backyards. That's when I started doing them, and it was very, very primitive kind of setups I was doing. I would used to get fined by the city all the time for not mowing my lawn. I was that neighbor. I'm okay with that. And so it's like I had to evolve a little bit, into what I'm doing here. So then I would recognize, I'm like, actually, this is kind of a cool place to hang out. I'm not going to do fights back here.
You're going to do plants.
Yeah.
Art.
Plants didn't even happen right for a while, really. I was just like. The art is out there. The art came along. I put the
garage door.
The garage door went up about 4 years ago. I had the murals. Murals have been on the back of the building. I had to swap that out. That's the one I have now is of Cool Papa Bell from the St. Louis Stars. He's a Hall of Famer, Negro League team. And the reason I did that is as I was a history major in school. And so I finally started doing the research on this building. And directly next door where the old tire shop is, it's now empty. That was a baseball stadium called National Night Field, National Night Park, a couple names, but they had lights there. St. Louis Stars played there for about 6 years. And it sat about, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 people. It was big. And it had stands, so like Hall of Famers played over there. They had barnstorming baseball teams that played over there. So Satchel Paige played over there. Some major leaguers played over there because they would play the occasionally they would play Negro League teams over there, and so I wanted to tip my cap a little bit to that history by putting that mural on there. Now, granted, it's not immediately evident of what was over there, but I get to at least tell people of this story. And they tore it down.
I've always wanted this story too, because I didn't know all the history here.
So yeah, and eventually they did tear it down because they built a war plant over there, and that you can still see the smokestack, and part and one of the factories is still there, and then they tore down the rest of them for the hardware store over there, and that was a it was a torpedo casing factory. They built casings for torpedoes there, and then they turned it into a canning company, and then it made beer cans up until like the early 90s or so, and then they
round metal stuff.
Yeah, round metal stuff. Yeah, that you know, that would bomb you in some way or another.
Right. Yep, there you go. There you go.
So it was so I eventually started developing art. So I started putting art out there. I started having more events out there. I kind of figured out how to put DJs out there. Then I put a fire pit out there, and the fire pits worked out real well.
Really nice fire pits. You got multiple setups.
Right. So I had one out there for years, and then the pandemic happened. But even before the pandemic happened, I started investing more and more in my garden. I have a neighbor just down the alley here, Matt LeBon. He owns a company called Custom Foodscaping. It's a really amazing company, and they do mostly residential and some commercial landscaping, where they'll change it so you're not just growing grass or flowers, you're growing food, herbs, vegetables, fruit trees, and that's what I have out there. So I've got apple trees that are about 5 years old. I did my first planting before the pandemic, and then dug out my tree lawn here on Juniata, and that went to I remember the pandemic hit just after I excavated it, and I needed to decide, do I need to spend another uncomfortably large sum of money to plant a garden when I'm bringing in $0 and it's the end of the world? And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to have a garden if it's the end of the world, you know? I mean, you know, next step's cannibalism anyway, so I'm going to, you know, I want to at least push that off just a little bit more than I need to.
Selfishly glad you did it. Yeah, I mean, it was like coming here after the pandemic started open, we were all released.
Right.
Coming back here to that huge garden was such a literally refreshing.
And that's what was super helpful. So we built those fire pits. I built out two new fire pits, and then I put in the big fireplace or mosaics that were done on them by my friend artist Red Keel. And she did a great job, but so it was all this collaborative stuff that kind of evolved super fast. So it's like, it's not the garden had been like this since 05. It was sort of like I had some bushes out there, and now it's got more and more. And then I put up a screen probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, and you stretched out to the sidewalk next to your place where you like you walk under the vines and the lights now, like on the sidewalk coming in. That is epic. That's great.
Right. So it's definitely grown, and I've each year, and it's a lot of work, I'm not gonna lie, but it's work that I enjoy because I get to be outside. And again, you're talking to a guy that would get fined by the city for not mowing his lawn, and that's a whole nother story that went on for years, actually. But now it's sort of people appreciate. I've learned how to make it so everybody can appreciate it. I appreciated unmowed lawns, I think, is pretty much what my problem with. I would have arguments with the city about.
Well, you would never know. You know, it seems like, you know, you've got a real taste for it. And,
well, yeah. If you notice, there's no grass out there either.
So right.
I did not want to have to turn on a gas mower again. I was just like, why do I have to turn on this stank-ass gas mower that, like, is leaking shit all over my, you know, over everywhere, and I can't ride it around. It's like, I have to, anyway. I could go on for probably an hour about my disdain towards mowing. And some people talk about how it's therapeutic, and I'm like, it's the opposite of therapy for me.
I just busted out the lawnmower for the first time yesterday, and nothing was fit therapeutic about it at all.
No, yeah, see, you understand.
You came over. You came to the studio to record. He was so itchy and covered in grass, and he was tired.
Yeah, no, it's like a colonial mindset that we have to control something like that. I don't like it. You know, I'm like, you know what? I want to grow something and help it happen, and then bear the fruit.
See what happens.
Instead of like creating like a toxic mess and then giving myself like some sort of asthma attack that I didn't know I had could have, you know, after. Anyway, I feel you. But
well, here's what I'm thinking. I got a few more questions, and I want to like really get to your cocktail studies and the pre-prohibition influence. Yeah. But maybe we could take a quick break and get a refill.
Let's do a quick break. Is that okay? Yeah, I'm gonna holler at my boy Rich over here.
Great, that's perfect. Yeah. And just come back in 10 or so.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks, right. Steve. Cool. See you after the break. We'll be right back. Hey squad, it's Logan from Mostly Superheroes. Today I want to share with you a group that's very close to our hearts. Tiny Superheroes, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Tiny Superheroes is an incredible organization that empowers kids overcoming illness or disability with their very own superhero capes, because every child deserves to feel like a superhero. Tiny Superheroes is on a mission to empower extraordinary kids all over the world. These aren't just any capes. They're symbols of strength, courage, and the superpowers that every child has inside. For every cape purchased, Tiny Superheroes donates one to a child overcoming challenges, spreading joy and confidence. And the adventure doesn't stop there. These Tiny Superheroes embark on monthly missions, earning patches, and joining a community that celebrates their unique journeys. So, let's rally behind these little legends. Visit www.tinysuperheroes.com to learn how you can support their mission. Whether you're gifting a cape or joining their squad, you're helping to uplift heroes who inspire us every day. All right, back to the show.
The meat.
How's the vibe today in here?
Vibe is strong. I got my regulars come in. I got Bobby Donnell sitting at the bar over here. Waiting for some other friends jumping in here soon. I got an old friend coming by I haven't seen in a few years. He'll be coming by in a bit. So when he gets here, I might bail on you. No,
that's
offense.
Fine. Oh, no, how much time? You think you got time?
He's not here, so we got time.
Well, the last thing I want to talk about. Well, first of all, I think you need like a vibe meter in here.
Yeah. Okay.
Something.
Oh, it's strong. This is an afternoon drink. This is a great time.
It can
be
dictated by you, even where you come in and you adjust it manually.
I will. I'll adjust the volume. I'll adjust the lights. I'll adjust, you know, I might move some of the stools around.
Well, I wanted to talk about your, I'm calling them the cocktail studies and pre-prohibition series. You know, you got these, I've been seeing your cocktail studies. You're in part three. It was a four-part series, right, that you were doing over time. And during certain parts of the day, you could get a little history, a little bit about the cocktails. I was hoping if you could just explain it to us.
So, okay.
So we can help explain it to everybody else, too.
For sure. Okay, so the origin here is...
looking for that?
Yeah. So, sorry, I was looking around. I've got all sorts of... My menus have lots of aspects to it. So the origin of the cocktail studies, as you know, we've sort of a cocktail forward kind of bar, especially for neighborhood bar. Back, I want to say 15 years ago or so, I started doing this thing called Cocktail Museum, where we went back through a lot of these old cocktail books and started pulling them out and doing different drinks. We did that for about 5 years or so. And this is a continuation as we're kind of evolving it into called the Cocktail Studies. A slightly different format, but we do this basically once a month. We bring sort of specials. Sometimes we restrict the hours on them depending on the type of labor it takes, because sometimes some of these drinks are just like you have to make a batch that day and it's hard to do. So the first two we restricted the times on this one. The drinks on these were not that hard. They're not that hard, like, you know, they're fine drinks, but they don't take extra prep. So I'm offering these all the hours were open. And so, for example, like the last one we did was in honor of Black History Month, we featured Tom Bullock, who is a very famous bartender here in actually the United States, period. But he mostly was based out of St. Louis. And this is pre-prohibition cocktails. And it's pretty wild because you'll see his books going on sale on eBay for, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. And other bars in town will feature his drinks as well. And so we featured some of his drinks, did a little history. You know, it's just, I wouldn't quite say it's like a book, but, you know, it's definitely you got to read a little bit to kind of understand what was going on. We kind of give a little background of what was going on with the drinks, the kind of ingredients that were used. And sometimes we have to approximate because some of the old recipe books use measurements that are not known, or they just don't specify. They
not
just
a
say
standard kind of.
Yeah. 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 You know, so with this last one, it's in honor of Women's History Month, and it's Women Behind the Bar and in the Kitchen. So we had to look at different drinks that were kind of made from cookbooks, because women were some of the original brewers back in the old world, but they were eventually pushed out because men wanted to take over their shit. Surprise, surprise.
Classic.
Yeah. But they were also, then they were saying, oh, they're a witch. And it's like, no, they're just making beer, okay? Oh, they have that cat over there. That's an evil cat. And I'm like, of course you got a cat when you got sacks of grain running around. You don't want any, you know, rats running around. And then, you know, then they blame them. You know, they just keep blaming. Anyway.
Idiot men.
Right. And so these women did create quite a bit of stuff. And then there's a lot of history that in basically a drunk town like St. Louis has had. We had like the first official cocktail party. It's a weird story, but apparently that's the case. And other things that were done by various women in town. So we kind of had to do some very loose interpretations, but we created a few of the cocktails here on the menu. You know, like the we have the like the Perfect Manhattan. We kind of go in the origins of that, which was sort of a back and forth with some of the Churchill contingent. And we recreated that. And it's, if you can come in, you can read more about these things. I've got some outstanding bartenders that do a lot of the research on these things. And they're all kind of working tightly together as a team back there. And we're actually pretty excited to be able to share these things with everybody, because this is sort of the fun that we get to have in a bar. You know, I mean, we got a back bar full of spirits. You know, we could just be doing shots of apple pucker, but you know, it's actually kind of fun to kind of see, like, how did the people drink when before we were around? You know, what was it like? You know, how did my parents or my grandparents, how did people drink in this town 100 mm-hmm. years ago, 120 years ago?
It is different, too. It's different than really most taverns that you go to. You don't, this kind of comes full circle, right? You've made this place into a place where whenever you're coming and you're looking for maybe some live music, maybe to hear about live music, maybe to hear some music from a local DJ, some vinyls, and maybe to have a little history.
Yeah,
You know, it's kind of like all Steve's favorite things, you know, rolled in, but you got a great vibe going in here, and people seem to be digging it 19 years and running.
Yeah. It was sort of been like, I may have been like a history teacher in my, I don't know, in another life or something, or I don't know, maybe something, I don't know.
Do you do, first question would be, do you have your own talk show, podcast, or anything like that? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, I've had a podcast that I've had irregularly. It's called The Royale Political Wire. And then as politics go, it's easy to get burnt out on politics because of just the insidious atmosphere that it's in. Well, it's a very necessary thing for us to kind of make sure that it doesn't turn on us. It's also difficult to operate in. So I've done this podcast periodically, I don't know, a dozen years, maybe longer. I started doing some stuff actually, I think like in 2008, mm-hmm. before podcasts. I don't even think podcasts are even called podcasts yet. I was doing, it was kind of weird. I picked up a gig. So I picked up a gig from MTV. This is after I opened the bar. And I was doing essentially, video blogging was big at the time, or starting to become big at the time. And they were trying to use, they did this experimental thing where they were trying, it's like the precursor to podcasts and like using stories like on Instagram and stuff, streaming. Like I had the first streaming phone. It wasn't even a phone. It was just device to try to cover the 2008 election. It was kind of fun. I started doing a lot of the stuff then, and it was a weird gig. It actually was an interesting gig. But anyway, so I started then, and I kind of morphed that into the podcast with my friend Bill Streeter, who's also heavily involved in music. He'd probably be a great guest to have. He's a pretty interesting dude. He does lo-fi Cherokee and all this stuff. But he...
Noted.
We would help me out on these things. Him and Michael Allen and a few various other opinion types of people. And I want to bring them together because in the neighborhood, traditionally speaking, at your neighborhood public house, is sort of the center a little bit for politics. This place, and I didn't know again until I did the history on this place. So the guy that owned this spot back when there's the ballpark across the street over here, his name was Fred Colombo. He and his brother ran it during Prohibition. His brother got hit with a couple charges, so then the other brother had to have the license. And he was an attorney. He eventually went on to become a state senator in Jeff City. Interesting guy. He was a New Deal Democrat. And that A.J. Cervantes, I'm sure you may have heard that name. The convention center used to be named after him.
So, yeah, for sure.
And he announced his bid for alderman here. Whatever year it was. And so I didn't even realize that I was already having all the, when I first opened my bar, all my drinks were named after each ward. And I used to have a ward map up. And it was kind of fun, but then it was kind of interesting to have all these aldermen around, all these politicians. And after a while, I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm going to go crazy. These people are insane. And like, I appreciate that they do the dirty work, but man, it's a lot.
They're in it too. That's all time.
You know, just being in it kind of creates this, like, I appreciate you're trying to make things better, but damn, man, it's like, some of these folks, and you have me in here all the time, it can be very challenging, and they know it too, you know. So
yeah, but I can see how you are naturally, you know, that's happening because you're involved in the community.
Right.
I read, you know, an article from this past January that you were one of the writers of the letter to help the KDHX.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I always struggle with that an acronym. The H and the X get flipped for me. But you're helping out some former DJs, and it sounds like you're really involved. So that doesn't surprise me that those types of conversations, people feel comfortable coming here. And you've opened that dialogue. So
well, the culture has to be fed to a certain degree in this town, whether it's like with your podcast that you guys do, that your guys are kind of like celebrating parts of our culture. Even if it's like, you know, like I can pretend that politics is the most important thing. You know, there's actually, you know what? Some of the other stuff is super fucking important too. You know, like whether it's music or little bits of writing or... you know, like stories, not, you know, like fiction, whether it's like whatever it is, it's super important that people have these outlets and we share it. And a place like, we're a forum for that, and we try to make a comfortable environment so people can do that, where different writers might be talking to each other and somebody might meet a guy who could drum for his band or whatever it is. It's good that these things are and that you support them. And that's what I try to do here, is have something of a format. And if I need to write a letter at a certain point, or if I need to, like, I don't know, get behind some sort of referendum at City Hall or go against a referendum or whatever it is, I try to be more, I'm more careful now than I used to be. I've been burned more than a few times in politics. I often, usually on the wrong side of everything. So, but whatever.
Yeah. You know. Says them.
Yeah, exactly. But still, you know. It has consequences too, you know. It's like if you back the wrong guy, then the guy that comes in is not going to play, and that makes your life uncomfortable. But you know what? At this point, I'm like, what's she going to do to me? You know, like, so what? You know. But
well, you know, this is one of those episodes that whenever we have guests on the show, we always say like the first time. This is the first time, right? So this feels very introductory, and we've covered a wide range of the history of this place and kind of what you're doing now. We'd be happy to talk to you more often, have you to our studio in Shrewsbury.
Oh, sure.
We'd come back here again and maybe get more into the happenings of the Royale, too. You know, I'm here personally, so it's only going to behoove me to know more about what's going on. And we'll just share that with our folks.
They're, you know, I mean, keep getting in a neighborhood spot, especially like one like this, because, you know, we have a pretty interesting mix of folks in this neighborhood, in the city, but... I will say this is something of a hub of different people who are doing things and creating things. They do make their way through here. And it is sort of fun if you hang out at a place like this, you know, you can hear it more directly than scrolling online, just seeing who the person is able to post something up. I've stopped using social media quite in the same way I used to, because it was turning my brain into oatmeal. And
we understand.
I don't think it was enriching my life as I would like it to be, because I prefer to be here with people, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you know, people's like, oh, nobody goes and talks to their people anymore, nobody talks to their friends, you know, nobody goes out. I'm like, well, that's your fucking problem, man. You can do it. There are absolutely fucking places to
do it. Nobody's stopping you.
Yeah, exactly. You're just mouthing off, and like all of a sudden I'm like, why am I looking at this on my fucking phone? Throw that shit away. That fucking energy can stay in the digital format on the airwaves while I can be here with people and we can talk with things and I can listen to the guy playing records right over there.
It's better.
And we can enjoy it. And then he'll tell me that, you know, the show coming up next Friday to go see. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I got an extra ticket or whatever. You know, that's the human nature. When these pubs started here in the United States, you know, you get off the boat, you head to the pub, you could probably find a place to sleep that night. You might be able to find a job.
Might find a job, yep.
Yeah.
You meet the local,
right,
whoever.
Yeah.
Fish market, the head guy, local priest, kind of, find a church.
Right. You could figure out where it was like your orientation. And you know what? We're still here. We're still doing it.
It's true. I've been raised partially by the pubs across the Midwest and even out west.
You understand, Logan? Yeah. Those are super integral to the community. And often politicians and people, sometimes more high-strung folks from churches, get really upset about it because they see it as a threat to their particular sphere of influence.
Yeah.
You know, like, because these places can, like, the Revolutionary War, the United States of America, was started out of pubs, okay? And if you see, like, you know, like, temperance movements push back on these places because they were involved in churches, they want to have all the control. It's like, hey, man, I'm not looking to take over you. We're just all together. We all have different people have different flavors of trying to get things done. Some people want to go in, have an ale, be able to have a drink and talk to their fellow neighbor in this format, not necessarily sit in a church with some guy preaching. That's your jam. Go for it. You know, the government wants to come in and then they say, okay, you have to have a license to operate now. You know, we have to tell you all those things. And I get it. Fine, I'll play your game, but don't try to stop this stuff from happening anymore. And that's what you'd see. You see hints of that every once in a while. And I always kind of, personally, I bristle a little at that, obviously, because I'm in this business. So,
well, massive applause is coming after that spiel. That's a good spiel. Hopefully a good rant. Hopefully it feels good to get it out.
Kids these days, get off my lawn.
Yeah, and the kids these days, they call that, by the way, IRL. That's in real life.
Yeah.
So that's what we're here doing. We're here in real life, living in the community. This place could feel more like
a community. So you say, you reach quite a bit of people, right, around. And it's super important no matter where. I mean, obviously, if you're in St. Louis, come on over here. It's great. But whatever your spot is, find it. And so, to get into a little bit of the study of this, it's the study of the third place. And I don't know if you've heard about this at all. Okay. So there's a lot of books written about this. So you've got three places in your life that you primarily are a part of: your home life, your work life, and then you have a third place. And that third place is different for different people. Obviously, this is my third place, other people's third places.
Yeah.
But it can be, well, may it rest in peace. Courtesy Diner was a third place, you know. But, you know, the church down the street could be. So can the library. So can the coffee shop.
Movie theater.
Yeah.
Chuck's Hot Chicken over there now.
They don't have seating in there. God damn them.
It's good, though.
It's good chicken.
I'll give them good chicken,
but...
New neighbors,
but the thing is, as I go in, my favorite part about the place, the Gold Courtesy, is I could sit down.
Yes.
You're right. I could see somebody, I could chat with them, and even though the food was the cheapest food you could possibly get to order, it was still amazing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And Chuck's Hot Chicken is solid. I'm not saying, now I'm giving too much product placement here, but you know, the neighbors I'm really going to elevate up are the ones where you get to, but you know, it can be that third place. So these third places are super important. And if you are anywhere, whether it's in one of these many different countries that are listening to this right now, you probably have a place. Don't hesitate to go to it. You know, participate in it. Participate in the real world. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to your favorite podcast. You know, read your favorite writers. Appreciate art. Listen to good music. You know, but get out and meet those people. And that's what life is about. You don't want to. You know, nobody's going to think, "Hey, man, I really wish I would have spent more time on the internet." At the end of their life, they're like, "I could have hung out one more time with my crew." You know, over at the bench at the park, even, or, you know, up at the bar stool over here, or out in the courtyard, or wherever it is. So it's always, those are the sweet spots in life. So I encourage all the listeners to kind of identify what that is in their life and support it and be a part of it.
Hell yeah, man. Stephen F. Smith here at the Royale Food and Spirits, Kings Highway in St. Louis. Definitely a third place for us. And man, I can't tell you, I'm just fanboying out, to be honest. It's really nice to get to actually sit and talk with you.
I know we got
mics in front of us, so like there's a couple iPads like kind of clamped up to your table. Like it might not feel like the most like genuine just hanging out, but it feels like that to me. It feels like I've got to come to one of the best places in the city. Definitely my favorite restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And get to hang out with you. So we'll do a little wrap up here. I always get the fellas, you know.
Sure,
Andy, let's look at you, man. Any questions for Steven? Anything you want to say before we end up?
No questions, really. I mean, I just absolutely love the vibe here. Like, I live right down the street in Princeton Heights. So,
nice, yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what, like, St. Louis and, like, a lot of the South City areas to me is just bars like this that have their own niche and, like, you can just come and have a good time anytime, no matter what. Like, there's not a TV on in this place and nobody cares. There's college basketball, the March Madness going on that's taken over half of the United States right now, but you'd have no clue if you were here.
And it's I forget about it.
In the best way. In the best way.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
Exactly. You know, well, yeah, it's like the best vortex that you've been looking for, that sweet, soft little time suck where you just don't even know how much time's passing. That's what's happening here.
Yeah, so I'll definitely... I'm your newest regular customer, as Logan is for sure. I mean, from everything that you guys put into, like, the menu, like that you just pointed out, like, most places are not going to put through the time to put that together, let alone go through all the work of creating such an awesome menu of cocktails.
Thank you.
That you guys
and you got together, you got enough content to have a regular updated show newsletter thing.
Should do a podcast. I probably should do something.
Yeah. We can help you, or at least I can make it easy for
you. We'll chat.
We can talk.
Let's chat.
Scotty?
Just real quick, what's the significance of the photos you got up there? I see Mandela and
that's ranged and that's fluctuated over the years. I've had them larger and smaller number of those photos over the year, and sort of it's the kind of people, you know. I just remember being in a lot of bars. Some bars are different, you know. Some have the pictures of those, you know, like the Bud Light thing with a bunch of girls' butts showing and. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of that. I'm a big fan of that, but I'm also like, I don't necessarily need to have that discussion any more than I already have in my own head about that.
So Bud Light will take care of you everywhere else.
Yeah. So I appreciate that, but it's like, I want to be, you know, have a conversation, steer it just a little bit. So I have different people up there, and you know, I've added up, I've had the Kennedy boys up. It's been, you know, it's long revered when I was a kid, you know. You'd see the Kennedys up in people's homes, you know, and then but I was also a big fan of like I was born in Illinois, so I got Abe Lincoln, you know.
Sure,
it's my man.
But Tubman.
I have Harriet Tubman, you know, who's considered a terrorist and a fugitive by the federal government, and I think it's okay, because you know she knew what she had to do was right. And I have Nelson Mandela, who broke apart. You know, he was in jail too. He's considered a terrorist as well, you know, by an apartheid government. And I have a man, Edward Said, up there. He's an academic that was born in Palestine. And he had been eventually, you know, had to be, he was expelled. And he was also considered an unsavory person amongst certain circles. But he has very interesting writings, Edward Said. And, you know, somebody might go up and they might, you know, read about it and they have maybe a good discussion about it and maybe learn something, or you don't have to either. I don't care. I mean, it's just, So that's kind of what happened. And some people complain to me, like, you took down this one. I'm like, oh, geez, come on, man. It's like, I had like, you know, I got to keep them rotating, you know? So
those have always been super inspiring. And like you said, the conversation starter, even just with yourself, like you start going, maybe you know who it is, maybe you don't. It takes you down a journey. What's going on? Like a little inspiration here up on the wall.
You know, some of them have been, you know, some are artists. I've had some up that are artists, some other not. And yeah, so
I do kind of the same thing at my work. Whenever at the end of the week, I'll send out like, hey, you got who's working here and who's doing this? And in the chart, when you scroll all the way down, I always try to put like some information on a historical U.S. figure.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, for enrich somebody's life. Like, yeah. look this up and check it out. I think the last one I put up for Women's History Month was Sally Ride.
Yeah.
You know, just a little blurb.
Yeah.
Like, get some history in your life.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's so much fun just to have that little bit, you know, where you can learn, you know, you can bring yourself up just a little bit by becoming more aware of something like that.
Anything. Oh,
thank you for doing that. Yeah, that's... Especially in such a not expected format to hear that.
Sure,
that's
my
favorite time, is sneaking in a little bit of something.
Always.
We just learned that about Scotty, me and Andy. We just learned that just now. And we learned last week during a guest that he has a sword in his office.
Like, Jesus Christ, I don't know what you do, man.
Your work life is weird.
Well, Steve, thank you for the time, man.
All right, thank you, gents.
Let's do it again. We'll see you next time.
For sure. Let's stay in touch, gents.
Of course.
All right?
Cool. Cool. Awesome.
Cheers.
Good cheers. Evening.
Cheers.
Looking forward for dinner.
Yeah, I'll see you before I leave.
All right. For sure.
Mostly superheroes.
I got you around here, guys.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. This is Logan, the Giggler, Scotty Scoop. That was the Royale Food and Spirits in St. Louis. Whether you live here in town or you're visiting town, you got to check them out on Kings Highway. The best spot. Hopefully you got that vibe from being in here with us today. Final thoughts, Scotty.
This place is great. First time here. I really like it. I really like Steve. Seems like my kind of guy.
What do you want to see more of now that we've talked to him? Like, you know, now that you got a sense of his taste, what stood out the most to you? Because he has a lot going on. He's like he's kind of a variety man himself.
The history aspect, I really enjoyed.
You guys clicked on that.
Yeah,
sure. We heard about your history tidbit about That's your right. office. You guys both put out historical things.
We do.
Giggler, you've been once before. You got to come back. What stood out to you most from Steven Spiel?
Man,
Steven Spielberg.
Yes. Interesting background. I love absolutely just the record player at the bar just spinning the whole time. We got this right here. We're sitting in the DJ booth.
We are.
I always wanted to be a DJ.
I can't believe, like, I was like, I knew we'd end up sitting here. I'm
here
so happy.
I mean, I'm just pumped to get out to the patio, come here on a night and just have a few drinks. Maybe try some of these cocktails on here. You know, I'm not a cocktail guy, but like when you look at those, like the thought that they put into them, and they're using real juice, like
the Jalisco margarita in the summer.
It's gonna taste good.
They do a summer Jalisco margarita, and I get it with the mezcal instead of the standard tequila. It's like a little spicy. And then in the winter, they do a cranberry margarita.
Man. That sounds royally good.
Nice. All right, well, we're gonna get some dinner, the three of us.
Fish tacos in my future.
Oh my God, are we all getting the fish tacos?
I am, for sure.
Be three orders of fish tacos. I promise you, listener, it's not just the fish tacos. Everything on the menu is epic. Everything when you dance around. But if you guys are first time for Scotty, you might have to get those.
I had burger and charcuterie board Saturday.
Yeah.
So good.
All right. We'll see you later. Take it easy. Mostly Superheroes is proud to be funded in part by our sponsors. Mostly Superheroes is funded in part by paying patrons who receive early, ad-free, and exclusive episodes. Subscribe at mostlysuperheroes.com/support. Thank you for supporting your favorite independent podcast. Mostly Superheroes is an independent podcast owned and operated by Kerrigan Ventures in St. Louis, Missouri. Hosted by Logan Janis, Andy Hun, and Scott Swearingen. Brand and creative by Carrie Clark Design. Music by Audionautix. Learn more at audionautix.com. Find more at mostlysuperheroes.com.